This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks in for Chris Carlin tonight here on 98.7 ESPN. Got a great show lined up for you. The NFL finally here, week one last night. What a game. Man, how about them Cowboys? Man, unbelievable game. Not what I was expecting a blowout, to be quite frank. Even though I was worried about the backdoor cover, you saw that line elevate. By the time it was kickoff, it was 9 under. So I was like, no, it's the NFL. Anything can happen. So I did play the over 30.5 points for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So I won in regard to that, but not the game that I was expecting from Dak Prescott and Dallas Cowboys. So Giants fans, man, are you on alert right now? We're definitely going to dive into that. Steve Verderosa, former scout for the Giants for over 30 years, is going to join us at 7:30. We'll dive into, he's been looking at film this week. So we're going to dive into the Giants matchup against the Denver Broncos, as well as the Jets matchup against the Carolina Panthers. I'll give you my take. He'll give you his. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. We'll get your calls. So a lot of NFL talk throughout the show. Jeff Legwald is going to join us at 8:30 from Denver. He covers the Broncos. I think it's important that we get somebody on who knows that team extremely well. I think that's going to be a good game. Two very good defenses. I like the under there right now. It's at 31.5, just FYI. My mind is in gambling mode. I just came off of Daily Wager, was on there just a second ago, and then jumped here on the radio. So my mind is in gambling mode. But two really, really good defenses with the Giants and the Denver Broncos going at it on Sunday. So I'm excited to hear from Jeff Legwald. Also, I want to find the inside. I want to find the skinny. I want to find the inside scoop in regard to, their decision to go with Teddy Bridgewater, what to really expect from them on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's going to be a good game. And I like that it's a 4:00, by the way. I like when the Jets play at 1, Giants play at 4. That way, we could take them both in. And then at 9:00, we switch gears. We go to Weekend Wager. That's right. Gambling Show kicks off right here at 9 p.m. Brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Lee Sterling is going to join me. He's got some college plays for you. He's got a ton of NFL plays for you. And earlier today, I recorded a podcast with Mike Clay. If you do play fantasy football, you know Mike Clay. He's one of the best in the business. Him and I have a weekly Friday podcast with our best prop bets heading into each week of the NFL season. And so I'm going to play that clip with our prop bets coming your way at 9:30. So a lot of NFL talk, obviously, but we are just moments away from the Subway Series and the first pitch taking place. And, when it comes, and I talk about it all the time, right? When it comes to the Major League Baseball season, it's an ebb and flow. It's highs, it's lows. And for a while, Yankees were on a low. We get to the trade deadline. What happens? As I like to call money moves, Brian Cashman, all of a sudden, boom. Yankees go on a 13-game winning streak, and then now what has happened? They've lost 6 straight. They've lost 10 of 12. Is this, and Booney spoke to the media and said, the components are there. We saw them go on a 13-game win streak. They stopped hitting into double plays. I really think that's the key, to be quite frank. Lead the Major League Baseball in hitting into double plays, which is pretty ridiculous. But obviously, it's more than that. But, it's just, and it's really wild. It's just, it's one thing. It's one or two things that can just turn a clubhouse around. And maybe this is the series for the Yankees to turn it around. Because you're looking at the division, you're looking at the Rays, they're 80-52, Red Sox above the Yankees now. Yankees are now 10 games back. I know for a hot second there, Yankee fans were calling the show, we were talking, oh man, screw the wild card, let's get after the American League East, we can catch the Rays. Yeah, losing 6 straight, 10-12, no bueno. Not going to happen that way. So it is, let's be honest. I want to keep it real. I don't want to blow smoke here. Really, the reality is Yankees get into the postseason. It's through the wild card. And now it's become uber competitive. So right now, Red Sox at that first spot, they get that first seed, not a seed, spot in regards to the wild card. Yankees at 2 right now, but you've got the Jays right on their coattails behind as a half. Seattle and Oakland, don't sleep on Seattle or Oakland either. So, man, the month of September, this is going to come down. This is really, really going to be something this month. And again, I'm sure Yankee fans are hoping that maybe this is the series that can really turn things around. 3 games against the Mets, and then in the month of September, they go back to Baltimore at some point. 3 games against Baltimore. And I know you're like, Anita, Baltimore beat them. I know that. But hopefully, you know, Baltimore's Baltimore. And then it really gets good the last 9 games. If the Yankees can turn it around, and I know I'm being uber optimistic right now, but if the Yankees can turn it around in some way, shape, or form, go 2-1 in the few series that they have left in the month of September, and then you get to the last 9 games. 3 against Boston, 3 against Toronto, and then home October 1st through the 3rd against the Rays. I'm just saying, like, you know, you got to be optimistic. This team is just, at the end of the day, this team is just too good. Let's be honest. This team is just too good to not make it to the postseason. Meanwhile, for the Mets, 1-2 in their last series against Miami, and of course coming in to take on the Yankees. Right now in that division, Atlanta 74-65, the Mets 5 games back. Of course, different scenario for the Mets. Mets have no shot at making it to the postseason as a wild card. So you know their eye is on the prize, and that is winning the National League East. So, and you've got a Yankees team. I know they're coming in. They're struggling. They've lost 6 straight. But a little added juice, no pun intended, a little added juice in this series because it is the Subway Series. And first pitch is taking place in just about a minute. And I will keep you posted throughout the show. Who's scoring, you know, all the stats, all the good stuff. I will keep you up to speed throughout the show tonight. But again, it's Friday night. It is week 1 of the NFL season. We had the Cowboys and the Bucks play last night. And like I said, really surprising game to me. Not the game script I was anticipating, right? Like, no Zach Martin on the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys. Not that they could run the ball at all. So if you drafted Ezekiel Elliott, I told you not to. Tony Pollard is pretty significant back there, and you saw it last night. They were able not that Tony Pollard was able to run, but he's utilized more as a passing back, and I just don't see the Dallas Cowboys feeding Ezekiel Elliott 20 carries a game. I think Pollard is going to be a big part of that Dallas Cowboys offense throughout the season. But really impressed with Mike McCarthy in the game plan that he called for the Dallas Cowboys against the Bucks. Listen, you can't run against the Bucks, so we're going to have to pass against them. And sure enough, that's what they were able to do. And not only that, I mean, I wasn't expecting that from Dak Prescott. Coming off the ankle injury, shoulder issue a few weeks ago, Adam Schefter casually mentioned that he thought that the shoulder issue was going to be something that was going to linger throughout the season. I wasn't expecting the performance we got from Dak Prescott last night. And oh my goodness gracious, if you drafted CeeDee Lamb on your fantasy football team, God bless you. Because I'll tell you what, he is uber impressive. He is fast. He is quick off the line. He finds the open space. He catches everything that comes his way. And it is evident that Dak Prescott trusts him. And he's going to be a target monster. He's going to have a monster season this year. So... And defensively, you know, listen, they went up against Tom Brady and that unbelievable plethora of weapons that Tom Brady is working with. But granted, you know, what, 9 touchdown passes between the 2 quarterbacks. So I don't think you could write anything home to positively with both these defenses, which, by the way, coming in, including myself, I didn't think that the Dallas Cowboys were going to put up those many points and pass for that those many yards and have that type of production against that Tampa Bay Bucks defense. Absolutely not. Granted, I know that they had a few guys go down, they had a few injuries, I get it, but man, Really, really, really something. What a game. How fortunate were we? I was expecting a blowout. I was thinking, fourth quarter, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'll put on some Netflix. You know what I mean? I'll follow my little prop bets that I put in, via online. I wasn't sure what was going to happen in the fourth quarter. Man, it went down to the wire, obviously. So I think we're blessed to have that kick off the NFL season on Thursday, on last night with that game. That was really exciting. And I can't wait for Sunday. There are so many exciting games and so many exciting storylines. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's one. I think the storyline with the Carolina Panthers and the Jets is probably one of the most, in my opinion, exciting storylines on Sunday. And we're going to dive into it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
Yeah, like I'm the Gordon Gekko of fat guys.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you here, 98.7 ESPN. Chris, I see you in Staten Island. I'm going to get to you in just a second. I just want to share with you, we're about 10 minutes away from Coastal Carolina and Kansas. Coastal Carolina is favored by 26.5, 27 in some places. Hopefully you can find them on BetMGM. This is my best bet tonight on the show. Their offense is just loaded. They're really balanced. They average 10 yards per play. Meanwhile, Kansas coming off of a win. And they have not, probably might be their only win this season. I don't think they've come back down to earth yet. I think their heads are still in the clouds. Coastal Carolina beat Kansas last year 38-2. And Kansas just not balanced enough. Offensively, won't be able to stay up with Coastal Carolina. So anyway, just want to share that with you right now because you got 10 minutes if you so choose. You want to get that bet in, then hopefully maybe you're playing with house money as we head into Sunday Fun Day NFL. Okay, Why am I so excited for the Carolina Jets game? I'll tell you so many reasons why. Number one, the revenge factor. I mean, come on. Can you write? This is like a Disney movie. Let's be honest, right? Like, Jets. Sorry, Sam Darnold. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on your way out. See ya. He goes to Carolina. Sam Darnold spoke to the media after that and said his feelings were hurt. He was really sad. He wanted, he loved playing for the Jets. He wanted to stay here. He wanted to be here. He wanted to help turn this franchise, help this franchise turn around. But nope, Jets had other plans. See ya, hire new coach, go out, draft Zach Wilson. New day, new era, new vibe here in New York. I get it, by the way. I think the scenario, what's happened here, is best for both sides. I think Sam is going to flourish in Carolina. I really do. So now he's in Carolina. He's got an unbelievable offensive coordinator in Bradley. He's got a great head coach in Matt Rhule. Love Matt Rhule. Don't forget, there's Robbie Anderson there who also is looking at this as a revenge game against his former team. I'm sure you've got a slew of guys on that roster that want to win. Let's win this for Sam. I think a lot of people are sleeping on that Carolina Panthers defense, one of the top defenses, scoring defenses last season. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. That's okay. And then meanwhile, on the opposite side, so much has been made. I mean, even Tony Romo came out just this week and just was gushing about Zach Wilson. And the athleticism is there, and you could just see the way that he throws the ball and the way it comes off of his hand and the zip and the flare and all of that. Like the sky is the limit. There's no denying that. But have we really gotten a true sense of how Zach Wilson, how his game translates in the NFL, going from BYU to the NFL? He's played a very scripted preseason. He's played against twos and threes. Like, I'm excited to see if Sam Darnold can pull off the revenge factor against the Jets. I'm excited to see how is Zach Wilson going to look against, like, a legit defense and into midway through the second quarter and then coming out of halftime and into the fourth quarter? What if it's a close game? Like, there's so many things I'm excited about. You know, I think there's other, like, listen, Carolina's going to win, and I'm not saying that Carolina's going to win because Sam Darnold's better than Zach Wilson. We'll see what happens in the next 3 years. I think that's a good possibility. But I was talking to Rich Cimini earlier today, and this is an interesting little nugget he shared with me. So the Jets secondary, their corners, majority of them are rookies. There's some sophomores there as well. Combined, make $7 million. Their salaries combined, all what is it, seven, eight, what are they? All combined make $7 million. There are 26 corners in the NFL that make $7 million each alone. Each alone. So, you know, if ever there was a revenge game for Sam Darnold, on a silver platter, no less, this is it. Let's be honest. This is going to be really, really interesting to see how this all plays out. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Chris in Staten Island. Chris, you're up. What you got?
I need a quick point on some betting, but I know it's a fan favorite for everybody. Since you can't bet New York, in Atlantic City, one thing I don't understand, bets that you make for over-under for team wins, 7, 8, 9, 10, the odds are completely different. Some unders you can get, you know, if you bet 50, you'll win only 43. Others you'll win 60. I don't understand why, if the odds could change, if a player gets traded or if an injury, it could go up or down. But the payout should be, you know, you should pay 55 to win 50 or 110 to win 100. That's the first thing. And the second thing is on the tickets, they say all 17 games have to be played.
Well, the payout is based on the number that you're getting.
But if you bet a team 8.5 over or under wins, that should basically almost be a pick 'em. That I don't understand why it should pay out so much more or less for any particular team. That's like betting an over under in a 47 or 48 in a regular game. Why would, like, the Eagles are getting plus 70 on a $50 bet, but the Chiefs are getting only plus 43? It's still an over or under, a straight line. And the second concern is on the tickets. They say you have to play all 17 games for them to be valid. If your team goes way over their total and you bet them over, if they don't play a game because of COVID, you should still be able to cash that ticket. And
no, they won't. They're not going to let you cash that ticket. But guarantee, and Chris, thanks for your phone call, but guarantee that the NFL is going to do everything in their power to make sure that there are no games that won't be played this season. This is why they've really come down so heavily on players that aren't vaccinated. You know, that's why. Hey, we have Steve Verderosa who's going to be joining us momentarily. Before we do, let's go to Eli. Eli, welcome in. I know you want to talk about the Yankees. Let's talk about the Yankees before we switch gears here.
Yeah, I don't need it. With the Yankees, listen, man, it's going to get worse with this team. What they did was they had a good thing. And then all these guys came back from injury, and then they thought they could plug these guys in, and automatically they were going to start hitting. This guy Torres, I'm done with him. Urshela is also a problem at the plate now. Listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But the Yankees think that they're the smartest guys in the room, and they think that the analytics people are the best, and when everything comes down to it, the only number that counts is the ones in the win column. And the Yankees, I'm telling you, they're done. They could really miss the playoffs. And I have a fancy question, after you comment on that. But,
no, go ahead. You made your statement. What's your fantasy question?
All right, I got a trade proposal. I have Travis Kelce and Chris Carson. Now, they offered me Najee Harris, Kyle Pitts, and Jeudy. You think I should pull the trade?
For Travis Kelce and who?
No, I have Travis Kelce and Chris Carson as my running back.
Right, and now, so they want those two in exchange for Najee Harris, Jerry Jeudy, and Kyle Pitts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh. That's the winner right there for sure.
Yeah, because I think these guys are kind of a question mark. Like Kyle Pitts is, of course,
There's no question mark with Kyle Pitts, Eli. Thank you for the phone call. There's no question mark at all. I'd say yes to that trade 7 days a week and twice on Friday night. We get back. Steve Verderosa is going to join us. Former NFL scout, was with the Giants for over 30 years. He's going to break down both games for us. He's been watching film all week long. What does he see in both the Giants and the Jets matchups? We'll find out next.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
That's a big fat WHEN, my friend.
On 98.7 ESPN.
As far as the leap is concerned, you know, that's always going to be game to game, but he's practiced, but he hasn't played in a couple of weeks, but expecting him to pick up where he left off in Green Bay, and obviously this first week and every week moving forward, get a little bit better and showcase why he's the type of left tackle that deserves to be special.
That is Robert Saleh talking about Becton. Becton came out, told the media today, man, I'm never going to miss another OTA again. Yeah, that's wise. That's smart, especially when they're implementing a new blocking scheme. Without further ado, we've got Steve Verderosa joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Scout extraordinaire in the NFL, is with the Giants forever and a day. Steve, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday night. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Listen. It's week one. It's week one of the NFL season, and what a treat we got last night, did we not, with the Bucs and the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, come on.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Sure was. If you're a football fan, it was great. Yeah. The one thing I came away with that game, though, I was unbelievably impressed with Dak. I've always been a Dak fan. When I was scouting with the Giants, Jerry Reese came to me, and at that particular time, I wasn't going to Mississippi State, but they were coming to Charlotte to play NC State in the bowl game. And he said, hey, listen, they got a couple players there, Chris Jones and Dak. I really want you to look at those guys. So I did all the tape during the week, drove over there a couple days before the game, attended one of the practices, even went to the media day, and then the game. And the game, unfortunately, was, I mean, a torrential rainfall. And this guy, this stud, went out there, rolled left, rolled right. He threw nothing but DBs in the rain. I came away unbelievably impressed with him. And I just thought he was the new wave of NFL-style quarterbacks, guys that could throw it, that could run it, that were mobile. And he had that strong body that you needed to play the long NFL season. I've always been a fan of Dak. Unfortunately, he wears a star in his helmet. So if you're in the New York metropolitan area and you're a Giant fan, or in my case, working for the Giants, you certainly don't like the Cowboys. But he's a really good player. I think he just solidified that last night. That was a heck of a performance.
Yeah, he really impressed me. And again, I was expecting a blowout. I truly was, especially no Zach Martin on the offensive line. I knew they weren't going to be able to run the football. And just him and CeeDee Lamb, to me, just
their game plan was their game plan was really, really good. Look, you can't run the ball against those big behemoths they have inside, and they knew it. And their offensive line was undermanned. So, hey, you know what? Let's get the ball outside to our playmakers, and let's see what they can do one-on-one against their people outside. So the front four, or the front seven for Tampa, is certainly their defensive strength, and they stayed away from it as much as possible. And because of their skill people, they were able to do a really nice job. So I think other people will try to emulate that as much as they can based on their own personnel. Obviously, they don't have the same skill people that the Cowboys have, but they did a really nice job last night.
No doubt. Again, Steve Verderosa joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Steve, I know we spoke earlier this week. I know you've been watching film, getting ready, prepping, doing your analysis for both the Giants and the Jets. We just heard from Robert Saleh, and there's no denying that this organization somewhat disappointed. I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but concerned about Becton, and is he going to be ready for this game against Carolina? I mean, he doesn't have a very easy matchup, that's for sure. But let's start first and foremost with what's going on with the Jets, right? Like Zach Wilson, and I'm really intrigued. I'm really excited to see Zach Wilson, unscripted, obviously, once you get past the first 15 or 16 plays, and against a true number one defense. You know, Tony Romo came out this week and was just blushing when he was talking about Zach Wilson. Curious to get your thoughts on how you think the Jets are going to do offensively.
Well, again, this young man certainly looked unbelievably athletic and confident and threw the ball nice in the little bit of the preseason game footage that he was able to put out there. But again, those were against vanilla defenses. And now he's going against a Carolina defense that's solid at all three levels, front, linebacker core, and secondary. And it's not that we have talked about this before, and I know I've gotten some backlash on social media about not being high on Zach Wilson. It's not that I'm not high on him personally. I like to see all those young guys do really well. I'm just not enthralled with his offensive repertoire that he has around him. You know, that was the thing with Sam Darnold when he was with the Jets. What did they surround him with? I really like Jamison Crowder, really, really good slot receiver. But let's see if Corey Davis is really a number one. To me, the jury's still out on him. Denzel Mims has been a little bit of a disappointment because he hasn't been able to develop because of his injury situation. The other people that they brought in, the Moore kid, another diminutive size receiver, the Smurfs are back. I really like the draft choice of Michael Carter, but he's 5'7", and he does a lot of really good things. He's a really good runner. He's instinctive. He's quick. He's explosive. He's fast. He's got fine hands. But I've never been a fan of a lot of little guys, and they have a bunch of little guys between Braxton Berrios and Moore and Jamison Crowder and Carter. That's a lot of guys that can get under the limbo bar, you know. So that and the offensive line, if Becton's healthy, I know he practiced fully this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but coming off a concussion, we'll see. I thought Vera Tucker was a really good draft choice. I really liked him a lot on tape. But that's the left side of the offensive line. The right side, you know, I think it's still a work in progress. And then defensively, I look at their secondary, a lot of really young corners, a lot of low draft choices and free agents that are trying to still find their way. I think May is a really fine safety, solid player from the University of Florida. I really liked him when he came out. He'll thump people. But Quinny Williams got to step up on that front. And linebacker core, you got two rookies starting. One of the rookies starting from Florida State is a converted safety. So, to me, a lot of youth, a lot of unanswered questions. And, again, when you're not playing a lot of football in the preseason, it takes a while for all this to come together. So what kind of synergy will their team have the first week? I'm skeptical. You know, and they're going on the road, playing a pretty solid football team that some people think will have a chance to make a run at a playoff spot. I'm not sure about that, and we'll see. I'm sure Sam Darnold's going to be motivated to play against his old team, and he's playing at home, and the rookie quarterback for the Jets has got to play on the road. So I think that's a tall task for the Jets week one. I think it's going to be the Panthers in week one. So gangrene's going to have to wait another week.
Yeah, I do. I'm with you. I do believe Carolina wins this week, you know. But again, I guess I'm more interested and I'm more curious and I'm more excited about the story within the game, you know. And again, that's Sam Darnold. You know, how does he perform outside of New York? You know, is the new, you know, a new offensive coordinator, a new beginning, new head coach in Matt Rhule, better offensive line, better weapons. You know, better supporting cast. What does that do for Sam Darnold? Does he still see ghosts? Does he not? And then on the opposite side, you know, it's interesting. You make excellent points. Like, not a lot of weapons to work with. Again, Jamison Crowder is out. He's been ruled out because of the COVID-19 list. You know, so, you know, is this really going to be a fair fair test to really grade Zach Wilson out in week one? I don't know.
No, it's not. No, right. I think it's totally unfair to do that. And how many players did he grow up in the dirt, which is really what, you know, it might come down to. But I think the kid's got talent. There's no question about that. But it's the most important position in sports, but it's also the one that relies the most on the people around you. You can have the greatest quarterback in the world, but if you don't have a solid offensive line, if you can't run the ball, if your receivers can't make the plays, the guy can't do it by himself. It's so much different than basketball, where you could have four decent players with Michael Jordan and be competitive. Or in baseball, you know, you can have a dominant pitcher in the World Series that the other eight guys back there can watch him just throw BBs, and you know, he can take the other team out of it. So football is the opposite. It's the most important position, the quarterback, yet he's the most dependent upon everybody else.
Again, Steve Verdoso joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks in for Chris Carlin tonight. Let's turn our attention to a team that you're very familiar with, and that is the Giants. Now, you know, very interesting. I've been telling folks, slow your roll when it comes to Saquon Barkley. Giants, and you know this better than I do, very conservative medical staff. They're not going to put Saquon Barkley out there unless he's 110%. Still no confirmation that he's going to play. I do believe that he ends up playing, but I do believe that he's going to be on somewhat of a pitch count. I think we're going to see more Devontae Booker against Denver than we are Saquon Barkley. I could be wrong. That's what my gut is telling me. But on top of that, Evan Engram is out. Galladay coming off the hamstring issue. Kadarius Toney is still dealing with the post COVID effects, you know, needing a lot of oxygen, Giants in the 11th hour scrambling to try to improve this offensive line, which fell very short in the preseason. I mean, and this is a year that we're supposed to judge Daniel Jones. This is supposed to be the year, as my mom likes to say, and eat a poop or get off the pot. This is the year for Daniel Jones. But, you know, I'll
go
back.
Are you allowed to do that on the radio?
Yeah, poop. I could say poop. It's a family show. But, you know, but I'll go back to what my first question. And that is, you know, like with all these issues, you know, is it fair to judge Daniel Jones this season with all these issues and all these concerns on the offensive side of the ball?
It's never going to be perfect. So everything that you just mentioned now, is it perfect for the Giants? So your playmaking tight end's not going to play. Your star running back, like you said, might be on a pitch count. If he had played 70 offensive plays, does he play 30? Does he play 25? Does he play 50? I don't know. All right. Only they know. And how does the game dictate how many he plays? Are you up? Are you in the game? Are you ahead? Are you behind? The first round draft choice, Kadarius Toney. It's unfortunate that he got COVID, but he's got COVID. So maybe you can't count on him. Well, maybe Sterling Shepard steps up and has the game of his life. You know, Daniel Jones is not a rookie. It's not his first rodeo. This is year three. Maybe he really bows his neck and puts the whole team on his back. I don't know. You would hope that all these negatives that you mentioned don't become a perfect storm, and you know it makes it really difficult for him. I have a lot of confidence in that young man. First of all, he's got great ability, and I'm not saying that to throw those words around. He can make every throw. He is unbelievably athletic. Big, fast. I think he's shown his toughness. He's very smart. Has he made some bonehead plays that everybody goes scratching and, you know, why did you put that ball in harm's way? Yeah. When I scouted him, there was only one negative I put on my report, and I saw a lot of games with him, a lot of practices, a lot of ways to evaluate him. If there's one thing about him, he might try too hard. He might try to make a play when there's no play to be made. At some point, you know, you got to know when to hold him and you got to know when to fold him. And early on in Phil Simms' career, I saw him do the same thing where, you know, we try to make a play on every play instead of living for the next down. Sometimes you just got to throw it away. And sometimes it takes a little while for these players to learn that. So I have a lot of confidence in Daniel. I think he's the right guy. He's got the right demeanor for New York. Unfortunately, you know, he has not a lot of people around him. To me, when I look at the Giant team overall, I like the team. I like how the team has been put together. I really like the secondary. I wish Adoree Jackson was playing. I know he's questionable on the injury report as of today, and that can change to Sunday. But I think the secondary is deep. They've improved the linebacker level. There's some depth there. And I like the big man up front. So I think defensively, the Giants are going to be very solid and be very competitive all year long. It's just the offensive line. If you have five really solid players, it still takes a while for them to develop a synergy together. And I just look at the Giant games in preseason, boy, I think there's a lot of work to be done there. And unfortunately, they're starting off the season against a really good defense.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, that's
one
let's,
of the misnomers.
Because I don't.
The NFL is. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I don't have a lot of time. I'm up against a break, but I wanted, I want you to talk about, let's end on that in this matchup, because I like the under in this game. Because I'm with you. I do like obviously the Giants defense, and I love this Denver Broncos defense. And so I think the under is going to be in play here, even though, you know, I look at the talent that Denver has on the offensive side of the ball that Teddy Bridgewater is working with. I still like the under here. Talk about this defensive matchup between these two teams.
Yeah, to me, it's going to be a low scoring game, something like 20 to 10, 20 to 13. To me, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't scare me. Yeah, everybody likes the way he takes care of the football, but he's not going to push the ball down the field. And I don't see them driving the ball on the Giants 8, 10, 12 play drives to sustain the clock. The Giant defense is going to keep them in the game. To me, the Achilles heel right now is the offensive line. Can that offensive line block that defensive line to give Daniel Jones times to make some plays and move the football and give the Giants an opportunity to score some points? But to me, that's the whole thing there. Denver's got a good football team. They got good receivers on the outside. I think the matchup of their receivers against the Giants secondary almost negates each other. So it comes down to the defensive line of Denver and the offensive line of the Giants.
So we're on the same side for both games. Carolina winning by a lot, and the Denver Giants under. Steve, thank you so much. Always great to hear your voice. Thanks for spending some time with us on this Friday night. Appreciate you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You do the same.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
Like, how is that stupid Reese's Crunch Bar still around? How is that still around? Who buys that garbage?
On 98.7 ESPN. You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Whoa, okay, so let's get right to it. Yeah, you know, that's a conversation. Obviously, I know Judge said that another hurdle I had to step over today. Conversation I'm going to have with Lee, Barnes, and Coach Judge, and the Doc, and you know, I guess we'll see.
Saquon Barkley, doesn't sound great, doesn't sound positive. Here's the thing. I do believe that he will play. I just think he's going to be on a pitch count. And I think this is going to be the case for the first few weeks. That's why I was really surprised that, you know, the Giants didn't put him on IR, at least for the first 3 weeks of the season. Really get that knee right. Really get it strong. Really get it healthy. And then come out week four when they take on the Saints. You know, everything I'm hearing is that this organization really likes Devontae Booker. So I don't know, a little perplexed by that. 800-919-3776. You want to talk some fantasy? Get on board. Let's go to Mike in Long Island. Mike, what you got?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to see, do you think there's too many mouths to feed in Tampa Bay right now? I got Evans in one league, and I have Brown in another, but I have some pretty good backups that I can rely on. Do you think Evans is... there's too many mouths to feed that I should just rely on a different wide receiver that doesn't have three other studs along with him?
Yeah, it's tough, man. I'll be honest with you. I'm in 12 leagues. I didn't draft any Tampa Bay wide receivers. because there are a lot of mouths to feed. That's for sure. Mike Evans was a show of himself last night. I don't know if he injured himself at some point in time early in the game. I know that there were a few tip balls that were thrown his way. I felt like he didn't really do a great job trying to catch them after the tip. A lot easier said than done. I understand that. But I think it was an off night from Mike Evans. I was expecting at least over 50 yards and a touchdown from him last night. It's not far from what we got.
I have Claypool. I have Cooper Kupp. I have Michael Thomas once he comes back from injury. So I have a couple other wide receivers that I can depend on. I'm just lost with this whole Evans thing right now. There's so many.
Yeah, you know what I would do. You know what I would do if I were you. I would wait. If you try to trade him now, you're not going to get anything for him because you know again he had a subpar night last night. If I were you, I'd wait until. Wait until this next game. Hopefully, you know, he has a serviceable day and then turn around. And I would try to trade him. There's probably a lot you can get for Mike Evans. That's for sure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it, Mike. Good luck. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Rocky in Queens. Rocky, welcome.
Hey, Anita, big fan. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Listen, I was going to talk to Jed, but the last call got me all fired up about that not being football last night. That game was entertaining as heck to me. I mean, 109 passes, so what? It's what the game plan dictated. And Dak was running for his life. I don't care who he'd want to run up the middle. You weren't going to get anything.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing, Rocky. You're talking about a different generation. With all due respect, I know Richard. He's come out to Don LaGreca's softball games, and I get it. You know, defense and rushing attack wins championships. You know, he probably likes it when it's football's being played in the freezing tundra. Not me. I'm with you. I like a lot of points. I like a lot of scoring. I thought last night was really exciting. I was expecting a blowout, to be quite frank. I still had some question marks in regard to Dak Prescott and his injury. No Zach Martin. All the hype around the Tampa Bay Bucs bringing all 22 back. They're going to run it back. Tom Brady's, Jesus on cleats, yada, yada, yada. And I was sitting there with like 5 minutes left in the game saying to myself, wow, this was a treat on a Thursday night. This wasn't what I was expecting. So I'm with you. I enjoyed it, Rocky.
Yeah. And look, I'm okay with the running game, right? I remember Curtis Martin, right? 3 yards a carry. And that's fine. That just means it's a great defensive game. But listen, you can't not enjoy that game last night. Again, thanks for the call and big fan.
You got it. Thank you, Rocky. Appreciate it. So I know quite a few people want to talk some fantasy. It is week one, all week long. I'm doing my due diligence. I'm on Daily Wager. I'm hosting a lot of shows and talking a lot of fantasy and talking a lot of gambling. So I feel that I have a really, really good grip on week one. When we come back, I will dive into some of my sleepers, some of the guys that I really, really like heading into week one. I'll share with you what my base DFS lineup is going to be heading into Sunday, which I'm really excited about. And also, let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens for a second. dropping like flies. I don't know if anything's been reported in the last 2 hours. Again, I was on Daily Wager and I popped right off of Daily Wager and came on the airwaves here. But there has to be something wrong with the practice field at Owings Mills. I lived in Baltimore for 4 years. It's Owings Mills. That's where the Ravens practice facility is. Because, I mean, back-to-back plays that they lose Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters, that's ridiculous. So they lose their starting running back, who became a starter because they lost J.K. Dobbins to a knee injury. And by the way, it was non-contact. You know that's the worst, when it's non-contact. So what have the Ravens done? Well, they signed Lev Bell as well as Devontae Freeman to their practice squad, and then today they signed Latavius Murray, who is no longer with the New Orleans Saints. So I've had quite a few people who've hit me up on social media asking me, who should I pick up? What should I do? What are the Ravens going to do in the backfield? Because here's another thing. Ravens love running the football. They are a rushing team. And the fact that they have Lamar Jackson there, it opens up the rushing lanes. It's just, it's like the parting of the Red Sea for running backs who play in that system with Lamar Jackson. So what do you do? And in full disclosure, 12 leagues, I want to say that I drafted Gus Edwards in at least 7 of them. So I'm in that boat. I'm in that Ravens boat of, oh no, what do you do?
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
Why does Reese's always mess with perfection? Go nuts. Reese's making a chocolate-free all peanut butter cup. What are we doing?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on this Friday night. Beautiful out, isn't it? Supposed to be a beautiful weekend. By the way, Coastal Carolina is down right now by 2-7-9 to Kansas, but they are driving. Again, this was my best bet tonight on Daily Wager, -26.5. So they got to start making some noise here, that's for sure. Also, bottom of the third, Yankees still up 2-1. Gallo with that 2-run home run. Thank goodness. That's what's keeping them in the game right now, obviously. All right, let's talk some fantasy football. And we've got, by the way, coming your way in about 15 minutes, Jeff Legwald is going to join us. Jeff covers the Denver Broncos for ESPN. Does a great job doing it. I'm really, really excited and interested to talk to him because this Denver Broncos team really fascinates me. I think there's a few NFL teams out there that people are not buying into. The Carolina Panthers being one of them. I get it. Time here with Sam Darnold. What are you buying into? You know, there's a lot that Sam Darnold has to prove. That's for sure. Number two, the Denver Broncos, like I said. And again, I think a big reason is the quarterbacks. Sam Darnold with Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater with Denver. And then Washington. And again, same thing. I mean, you know, whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, these quarterbacks, nothing to write home about, right? Like no bells and whistles. They're not sexy. They're not uber athletic. They're not tremendous. But what they are is they're smart. They've got 70%, if not better, completion percentage in the NFL. And they've got a plethora of weapons around them. And they've got a solid defense that they're playing with. So those are three teams that I think are flying low on the radar that aren't getting a lot of respect. So I'm really excited to have Jeff on. He's going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. But let's talk some fantasy football with you right now. And just a reminder, really excited. Sunday, New York Game Day is back. I kick it off from 7 to 8 a.m. with Fantasy Forecast. Wall to wall, the entire hour, taking your calls, getting you ready for your matchups. So definitely tune into that. Call in. Cynthia Freeland, who joins me on Saturday, always gives us some great nuggets that I replay. If you missed the Saturday show, I replay for you on Sunday. Her sleepers, the players that she really likes at each position. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And we take your calls for that full hour. And then the New York Game Day kicks off at 8 a.m. And we're with you until 11 a.m. Mike Tannenbaum will be joining me from 10 to 11 a.m. We've got my locks of the week. Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants, is going to be on board. Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets, is going to be on board. So really excited. So New York Game Day is back on Sunday. So let's talk fantasy. Before we do get to Sunday, because I know a lot of people like to spend the weekend kind of working on their rosters. So quarterback-wise, I mean, listen, obviously, I've received quite a few tweets asking me, should you play Josh Allen against Pittsburgh? Yes, you should. You probably drafted Josh Allen the first round. You're not going to bench him. Play Josh Allen against Pittsburgh. gosh darn it. So I don't want to waste your time on guys that you know you're going to play anyway. But here are some guys that I really like, and I love their matchups this season, okay? Ryan Tannehill against Arizona. I think there's going to be a boatload of points that's going to be scored with Tennessee and Arizona. These are two fast-paced offenses, believe it or not, even though Derrick Henry is in that backfield. They score a lot, and also they get scored on a lot. So I love Ryan Tannehill. I love Murray as well. I think there's going to be – I love the over in that Tennessee-Arizona game, by the way. Matthew Stafford, I've been on him since the trade went down with the Rams. I put money down that he's going to win MVP. My pick to win the Super Bowl is the Bills, but I got the Bills and the Rams. If the Rams win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked either. I can't wait to see what Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay have concocted offensively in Los Angeles with that Rams offense. I love Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is a sneaky good play for all the reasons we've been talking about in regards to that Jets secondary. I'm playing Sam Darnold in a ton of DFS lineups, by the way. Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo against Detroit, the Detroit Lions. I think he crushes it. Kirk Cousins against Cincinnati. You know, Kirk Cousins averages 25 touchdowns, if not more, for six straight seasons. He's got Adam Thielen. He's got Jefferson. I know he lost Irv Smith, but Dalvin Cook utilized big time in the passing game for the Minnesota Vikings. I really like Kirk Cousins this week as well. People sleeping on Carson Wentz, that's fine. Sleep on him. I got him as my second quarterback in fantasy. It's all good. And I sneaky good play, Tyrod Taylor against Jacksonville. Jacksonville very well could have the worst defense in the NFL. So I'm going to be playing Tyrod Taylor and Brandon Cooks in a few DFS stack lineups as well. So there are some quarterbacks that I like. I'm going to play more Dalvin Cook in DFS lineups more so than Christian McCaffrey, just FYI, because I have a feeling that Carolina Jets game, it could be a complete blowout where I think that maybe they'll rest Christian McCaffrey in the second half, let alone the fourth quarter. So if you're talking DFS, I'd rather spend less for Dalvin Cook, who I do believe is going to be pretty vital for all four quarters, than spend more on Christian McCaffrey, who I feel will not be. Just FYI. James Robinson against Houston. I think he has a monster day. I love Antonio Gibson against the Chargers. That's for sure. Dude's not going to come off the field. Miles Sanders against Atlanta. I think he has a big day. Now here's where we get into some really deep sleepers. Damian Harris, New England against Miami. As we know, Mac Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. So you've got a rookie quarterback. So what do you do as an offensive coordinator? What do you do with a rookie quarterback? First of all, you got to establish a rushing attack. Sony Michel was traded to the Rams. So I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Damian Harris on Sunday. And also guys utilizing the passing game as well. But I'm expecting big things from Damian Harris, and I think you need to, just to make things a little bit easier for Mac Jones in game one against Miami. I mentioned Sony Michel traded to the Rams. Now, Henderson is the lead back in that backfield for the Rams. But for whatever, I don't know what's going on there. For whatever reason, he's like in and out of the doghouse with Sean McVay. And Sony Michel utilizing the passing game, really great receiving back. I do believe that Sony Michel is. I do believe that Sony Michel is going to get some love on Sunday, so I like Sony Michel as a solid flex play. Okay, I like Sony Michel as a solid flex play. Some other guys that I like: Tony Jones Jr. He's the legit backup number two to Alvin Kamara. Here's another one to you: Philip Lindsay for the Houston Texans. A lot of people think David Johnson is the lead back in the backfield for the Houston Texans. I don't believe it is. We will find out on Sunday, but my money is on Philip Lindsay. And I think he can be a sneaky good play because, again, Jacksonville, their defense is just god awful. So I'm playing Philip Lindsay in quite a few DFS lineups as well. Devontae Booker Again, we're not sure what's going to happen with Saquon Barkley. Is he going to be on a pitch count? Is he going to play at all? I think Devontae Booker is going to get a solid amount of work against Denver. I don't think he's going to produce much. Denver's really hard to run against, but you can probably get him for next to nothing, and you'll get the value in what you're paying for him in DFS. Also, keep an eye on Austin Eckler. He's dealing with a hamstring issue. If he can't go, Justin Jackson then will more than likely get the bulk of the work in the backfield for the Chargers. Tough matchup against Washington, no less, but none. You definitely want to handcuff, as a lot of people don't like to use that word. Maybe I shouldn't either. You want that safety net. If you did draft Austin Eckler, you want to make sure that you pick up Justin Jackson just in case that hamstring issue is worse than what's being reported. I'm going to get to the Ravens in just a second before we take a break, but I want to go through the tight ends. A few tight ends that I really like. You know, I love Kyle Pitts. You drafted him. You probably drafted him fourth overall. Fourth in the fourth round. So that means you are going to play him. But here's a sneaky good play, and I'm going back to the New England Patriots because of the rookie quarterback. Not only are they going to want to run the football, but when he passes the ball, he's going to be looking for his tight end. I think the tight end that he's going to be targeting a lot is Janu Smith. So I really love Janu Smith this week against Miami for the New England Patriots. In regard to the Baltimore Ravens, again, Gus Edwards is out. Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, as well as Latavius Murray were all signed to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm putting my money on Murray. And John Harbaugh came out like just a few hours ago and said Murray's skill set best suits and best fits what the Ravens like to do in the rushing attack. So if you're one of those people out there who, as soon as you got wind, as soon as you got the word that Gus Edwards was out, you immediately got on your phone and you picked up Le'Veon Bell, or you picked up Devontae Freeman, or you picked up Williams, right? Isn't that the dude's never? Yeah, Tyson Williams. Dude's never one snap in the NFL. No. Understand, this is a Baltimore Ravens team. They are expecting. They are anticipating. They are trying to win the Super Bowl this year. So, hashtag run, don't walk. That's what my money's on. I don't know anything. I don't have any inside information here. Just everything that I'm reading and everything that I'm hearing, I do believe that Murray is the running back that you want to go out and grab off the waiver wire. If he's still available, hashtag run, don't walk, go get him. Because I have a feeling that that's going to be the running back that the Ravens are going to rely on moving forward. Just my instinct, just my two cents.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
I would jump in naked and swim around in that.
On 98.7 ESPN.